seeing the benefits of the given product, whatever it may be. And so we think about benefits in the search for answers from God's Word. What are the benefits for believers? You know, we're challenged daily by the things that offend us or that are opposed to our Christian faith, the things that are going on around the world, in our families, in our nation, in our homes. But there are so many things that God wants us to know. I want you to turn to chapter 5 of Romans, as we said. Paul is writing this letter to a group of believers that are located in the city of Rome. Paul had wanted to be there himself, and yet he was not able to be there. He was incarcerated in chains. And so he had the lack of opportunity to be together with his people. But when we realize that he wants to tell them some things that are beneficial to their life, some things that will aid them in their Christian walk. So he starts in chapter 4 and verse 25, ends that chapter by saying, "Who was delivered," speaking of Christ, "for our offenses and was raised again for our justification." Therefore, as a result of all of that, you know, when we came to Christ, there was a change that happened, right? That song says, "What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul for which long I have sought since Jesus came into my heart. I have ceased from my wandering and going astray since Jesus came into my heart. And my sins, which were many, are all washed away since Jesus came into my heart." What a great thought that is, as we realize that there has been a wonderful change in our heart. You know, we talked about in our Q&A class this morning, how do you know when a person's saved? Well, there's a wonderful change in our heart. So we realize that God is very clear that things are different now. He starts off chapter 5 with one word that says, "Therefore." Whenever you see that word, you always want, what is that "therefore"? And there is a reason, because he connects chapter 5, verse 1, with chapter 4, verse 25. He says, "I want you to know something. I want to tell you about my Savior. I want you to know the Lord. He was the one that was raised for our justification." Boy, that's a big justification. He says, I want to tell you from this very first word that I have some good news for you. Now, I don't know, I'm sure you are like, you like good news, right? You like to hear good news. Well, there was a story about a large train that had two engines. And this train was making its way across the country, and it was crossing the western mountains when one of those engines failed. It stopped. The conductor said, "Well, the engineer said, no problem. We can make it on to Denver, and there we can exchange a new engine for the one that is faulty. We'll be okay." Well, it wasn't long before the second engine. And so now there was one engine that stopped, and now the second engine stopped. They weren't at Denver yet. They were out in the plains all across the mountains now, and stationary, not moving at all. So the engineer thought for a minute, and he didn't know what to say. But he made an announcement that said, "Ladies and gentlemen, I have some good news for you, and I have some bad news. The bad news is that both engines have failed. Both engines have failed, and we will be stuck here for some time until the additional engines arrive. But the good news is that you're on a train and not on a plane." So there was some good news. And the good news was, you're not on a plane. So therefore, Paul says, "I have some good news for you." Therefore, he said, being justified by faith. And we use that word justified as a theological term. What simply means, it means God declares us right when we come to a saving knowledge of Christ. He declares us righteous. That's a judicial declaration timeout. We're having a... So that was the bad news. The bad news, the good news is the mic is working, okay? All right, so I got the point across. So Paul says, therefore, I want you to know, being justified by faith. The word justified means declared righteous, God says, when you come to Christ and you're a new creature in Christ, I declare you righteous based upon the finished work of Christ on Calvary. So the declaration is made. You've been accepted. You've been declared that God has superintended your affairs, and the price for your salvation has been made. Therefore, being justified by faith. Now, I got to tell you how this works. It's like wiping a board clean. My wife was a school teacher, and I remember those chalkboards. You remember those? You wrote on the board with a chalk, and by the time at the end of the day, I would come around occasionally, and she would wipe the board down. I said, "Well, that's not clean. It's still there. You can still see the rubbing." So she said, "Oh, here's a bottle of solution. Spray it on the board and wipe it." And boy, when I did that, it was clean. Well, that's kind of like it is when we come to Christ. We are made clean. We're made new. We're made secure. But what happens when we are justified? Therefore, being justified by faith. Notice this. He says, we have as a possession of Christ in our life, as a declaration, you are right with me. Here's what I want you to know that you have. Count your blessings, name them one by one. See what God has done. See the benefits that God gives to believers. He says, I want you to know these things, and I want you to have them available for you. Back in the 4th century, there was a scientist who discovered that litmus, L-I-T-M-U-S, litmus was a mixture of some organic components that created a what they call a litmus paper, and it would check for alkaline or acid materials, and they put this litmus paper in, and it was a test. And it's been proven, and it still continues. It's a test. And I don't know if the students in here today, but if you're listening, students, I want you to know that when teachers give tests, they're not giving you tests to see what you don't know. They're really trying to find out what you do know, and they're hoping for the best test. There are tests, aren't there? Life is filled with tests. And so we realize as we have tested our life, Paul says, I want you to realize that there's something in your life that you can test, and that is peace. The first thing is peace with God. And we're going to use that thought frequently throughout the message, the idea of tests. Because you can test your life right now and say, do I have peace with God? And is the peace of God prevailing on my life? Do I understand what peace is all about? Isaiah says, the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. As you well know, the world does not understand peace. I read that in between the years 1990 and 2018, there were over 1,700 peace agreements made. You say, 1,700 peace agreements? Oh, yes, there were 17. Well, that must mean we have peace. Unfortunately, it doesn't. Because you see, the world describes peace as an absence of hostility. God says peace is a change of heart. You can have peace with God and have that peace that prevails. Isaiah 57:20, the wicked are like the troubled sea, for it never can be at rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. Let me say to you that the world does not know what peace is all about, because they do not know the Prince of Peace. Jesus identifies the fact that its source of peace is Jesus. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He is our source of peace. The Gospel of John, Jesus said, chapter 14, he said, peace I leave you, my peace I give unto you. Now notice he qualifies that. He says, not as the world give us. He said, the peace that I am giving to you who have been declared righteous by God because of your belief is a peace that passeth all understanding. The world does not understand nor comprehend the peace that God gives. I give unto you. He said, then he closes by saying, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Why? Because one of the benefits that Paul talks about here, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We realize that that source is our gift. Paul said in Ephesians 2, he is our peace. Speaking of, in Union Station back years ago in Washington, D.C., there was a particularly busy day at the place where the trains were coming, the depot there, and people traveling. Public address system was announcing arrivals and departures, and pagers were ringing. Back when pagers were used, they were ringing, and sounds were being heard, and walkie-talkies and cell phones early on. They were just all this hustle and bustle going on around in this place called Union Station. Even the car horns were making noise, and all these things were going on. And as that was happening, there was a concern about the sound. In some areas that were forbidden, people were there, and they were talking and laughing and cutting up and making all kinds of laughter. A man was nervously pacing in a circle. He was, again, part of the loud noise. But then you could hear something, a sound. Someone was singing. You could just all barely make it out through all the noise, the song that he was singing. What a friend we have. It was being heard through the noise, and all of a sudden things began to calm down. People started, what is that? And there was a somewhat of a peace that started to fall upon the people. Finally, all the noise was quieted, and they heard that song, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Slowly the change came across that noisy crowd, and someone said, as they heard, oh, what peace we have often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain. He heard that. He said, well, that's really nice. I don't even know Jesus. I don't even believe in him. But those are good words to hear. You see that peace that God gives to us. And everything came to a close. Everything began to be quiet. See, you cannot manufacture that peace. You cannot legislate it. You cannot sign a document that guarantees peace. But it is that peace that passeth all understanding. Now, here's the test. Do you have that peace today? Are you at peace with God? You say, I know where I'm going to spend eternity. I have peace about that. I have the peace of God prevailing upon my heart. Well, then the good. You passed the test, haven't you? But there's something else I want you to notice. He says, by whom also we have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand. We have access. What does that mean? That means we have a God that says, I want to talk to you. A story was told about a young lad, Tad Lincoln, who was the youngest son of President Abraham Lincoln and Mary Todd Lincoln. Tad was just a young boy, and his dad was in the office, and in the outer office there were a lot of people gathered wanting to come in and chat with the president. Well, young Tad just walked through the waiting room, went to his dad's door, opened the door, walked in, began to visit the president. He was in there for quite a while. Finally, he came out, and the people that were in the waiting room were still there, a little agitated. Saw this little tyke walk in there. Who's he? So someone thought it was kind of cute, and they said, well, what right do you have coming in that office? How can you do that? The little boy said, well, I can do that because he's my dad. I can go in there anytime I want. It's kind of like the access that's available to us. We have access. That means we can come to the Lord anytime. Psalm 66 says, if I regard iniquity, my God doesn't hear us. But verily, verily, I have heard, he has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. Listen, here's the God's people pray. Because we know that there's a God in heaven that says, pray without ceasing. That our Father says, come unto me. He says, the effectual fervent prayer of righteous men availeth much. He said, come, knock, seek, come to me. Just to think about that. The magnitude of prayer. That we can pray for the needs of our own lives, of our family, of our nation, of our world. What's going to change this world? Well, prayer by faithful people that are asking God to intercede and to bring effect. In recent times, a king might have a man who had rebelled against him, and the king would forgive him, and peace could be restored in that light. The king could bring a pardon, but that pardon did not necessarily carry with it the right to come into the presence of the king. The man did not have access. But access gives us the idea of we have privilege because we are a child of the king. See, a benefit. And so we take the test. How do we fit in? Do we utilize the access that God has given to us through his presence? I thank God for this church because Bethel Baptist Church is a praying church. We have a prayer guide that we put out every week. We know about the needs. We pray. We understand the opportunity, the benefit of believers to pray, and we utilize it. And again, I stress that we can pray together. I want you to know that this church staff, every Monday morning, gathers together, and we pray for the needs that we know. We pray for the needs we do not know, but we pray. We ask God to superintend. Access we know is available, but we sometimes fall short in our test that we're not utilizing what opportunities and benefits God has given. Thirdly, we have a stand. Notice that. He says, my faith also unto the grace wherein we stand and rejoice. We have a position. We stand. The song says, on Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. How can a sinner stand in the presence of a holy God? Because we stand upon Him. We stand upon Him. Psalm 103 says, if Thou, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? If God would begin to pick our iniquities into our life, would You stand unto our scrutiny? And of course, the answer is yes. He says, you have a position. So I ask you what you believe. And you know, I hear that often, you know, what do you believe? And I ask the question, what is your faith based upon? Upon what or whom do you stand? And that's a question we have to ask. The question of the test today is, upon whom do you stand? Upon whom are you dependent? Listen, folks, these things around us, they're going to fail. I don't care what it is. I don't care how good it is and how nice it is. These things are going to fail. We also realize we're not taking any of this with us. But we stand upon the solid rock who is Jesus Christ. He is the hope of our faith. He has given us His word forever settled in heaven. Upon that rock we can stand. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. We call ourselves unashamed Christians. We're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We understand, for His word is that foundation stone of our life. There's a man by the name of Edward Mote, and he had come a believer, and he learned how to write music and tell things as they were. And one day, as he was visiting in the home of another pastor whose wife was having health problems, he had just written a song, and the words he sang to this lady, he said, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweeter frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. The song goes on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. But there's a fourth benefit that he gives to us. But we glory in, he says, and rejoice in hope. Hope of hope of the glory of God. The word hope, another one of those benefits. To realize that there's something beyond today. And we have that peace, we have the access, and then we have our future understanding, glory that is to come. You see, before we came to Christ, before salvation, there was no hope. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, that at the time we were without Christ, Paul said, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, outside of the framework of God, strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope. Hopelessness is a sad commentary, isn't it? You know, there was one time in the history of our nation when a simple infection would kill a person. There was really no hope. There was, you have something of that nature, of whatever it could have been at the time, as diagnosed. There was nothing that could be done. But a couple of years ago, they came out with this thing called COVID-19 serum, and you need to get the shot. You could debate that. But other inoculations and other factors that entered into infections. So someone said, well, I cut my finger, I got an infection. Well, that's no big. It was back then. But now we have hope. Our hope is in a product. We see how it works, but we know there's more to hope than just a product or just something here. Paul said in Titus chapter 2, looking for that blessed, and which is the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Too many people today are living in the now and now society. They think this is all that there is. But we realize, Paul said, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are most miserable. If only the hope that we have is in this life, in Christ, we have So people are taking the test, and they're saying, you know, I have little hope. I've talked to people like that. I can't see very much hope for them. Looking around, you say, boy, things are looking rather bleak, but I have good news. And that's what Paul is saying. Being justified by faith, therefore, we have peace with God. We have all these benefits that God has given us in Christ. And to realize that we do not have to live a life that is most miserable. That we can have a life that is filled with His presence, His goodness, and His glory. And to realize that our hope is not in, but our hope is in the one that made tomorrow possible. And so you take the test. You say, well, there's some things missing. Well, we better talk to the Lord about it. Maybe it's the peace, or maybe it's the access. Maybe it's just the hope. Maybe we've gotten down and thinking the world's coming to a close. Which, of course, it is, as the Lord, He will appear soon. But we are not without hope. Our hope is in our Savior, the blessed hope, which will keep us going forward. And so the last thing I would share with you is in verse number 5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. There's that last benefit, the love of God. You see, God's love cuts through every disappointment, distress, every anguish, everything that takes us away. That love that was revealed at the cross. God gave His only Son to die on the cross for our sin. We talked about that a little bit in our class, how God's love permeates everything. His love, and this is important, does not end at our salvation. His love continues, and His love is shed abroad in our hearts. His love is a love that gives continually. And so we can hold our heads high. Well, here's the prescription. Here's the blessed hope. Here's the reason that therefore is there. Here's the reason we have this benefit, these benefits given to us at the time we came to Christ. So I hope that will be an impetus to carry us forward. You know, we don't know what tomorrow will be, but we know that these benefits are for us today, for us now. We can claim. Again, I say to you, if you don't know Christ, if you've never received Him as your Savior, that's the place we begin. That's where He started. And I want to tell you about my Savior, Paul said, the one that was raised again from the dead for our justification. I want to tell you about Him. He's what makes all this possible. And all He says I ask you to do is trust me. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And once you're saved, all of these benefits are yours. You can take the test. Where do I stand? Knowing Him in a personal way. You see, our God is a personal God, a God who loved the world, but He loves us so much that He died for. Father, I thank You. Praise Your name this morning. I thank You, Lord, for the good news of Christ, the hope that was within us. And Lord, I thank You that we can pray together and ask You to meet the needs of everyone here.